Have you ever been in the middle of a conversation with someone when suddenly a child starts screaming bloody murder, and you realize that that child that is screaming bloody murder is your own child? Now, at first, you probably are filled with concern. Like, what happened? Do I need to go? Do they need medical help? Are they all right? Should I be concerned? But then your concern changes over to anger when you realize that the reason your child is screaming is because their sibling just smacked them. Yes, you know that moment that I'm talking about, especially if you have more than one child. It's that moment that really makes you proud to be a parent, isn't it? In fact, I think I've resorted recently to saying, you know, I'm sure glad that my kids are like this in public and not just like this at home as well, because I hate to give the wrong impression that somehow our family is perfect, right? Because the reality is our families are far from perfect. Do you remember what it was like, life before kids? Everything was grand, and when you thought that your family dinner someday might kind of look like this, the perfect family, multiple generations gathered around the meal, they're all having a wonderful conversation, everyone's complimenting your cooking, I mean, it's just perfect, right? But then the reality is your family dinners turn out something more like this, where things are chaos, the food is cold, and things are spilled, the dog stole stuff off the counter or whatever, and the child has somehow escaped and is climbing out the window. Or maybe they're throwing a tantrum because they don't want to eat their peas or finish their dinner. Maybe you thought your brother would always have your back. And then they threw you under the bus when the two of you came home one night and Dad's car looked like this. Or how about when you first started dating? And maybe he was all romantic, and he would buy you fresh flowers, and you knew that he thought of you. Oh man, my wife's the baby. Why did I use this illustration? Anybody have some flowers just like in quick? All right. But the reality is, you come home and you find this: leftover breakfast and mail scattered across the counters, dirty dishes piled up in the sink. The reality is, our relationships are far from perfect. I love the book of Ecclesiastes because sometimes we just need a good dose of reality, don't we? The author recognizes the vanities that we chase after in this life. He calls it all meaningless, a chasing after the wind. But then we come to some of the most poetic verses in Scripture. There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the sun, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to... And you just want to go, I don't have any time for that. The struggle is real. We all have faced it because we all have bought into what the author and songwriter John Fisher calls the big Christian lie. The big Christian lie that somewhere, someone is getting it right. And that someone is actually achieving what we can't possibly seem to achieve on our own. And that is the standard that we end up judging ourselves by, isn't it? The thought that somebody somewhere out there has it perfect. But the reality is our life is a mess. Well, at the end of this poetic section of Scripture, the author of Ecclesiastes comes to acknowledges the struggle. He says, I have seen the burden that God has placed upon people. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity on the hearts of people, and yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift from God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that they will revere Him. So why do our hearts long for a standard that we cannot seem to achieve? It's because we are meant for something more than what we see in this life. God is calling us. God is pulling us towards something greater. God is calling us towards eternity. You see, God isn't focused on the final product, getting it perfect. God is focused on the process. God isn't calling you to be the perfect family. In fact, I've really tried hard this week to think of some great biblical family examples that I could lift up as a model each week. And you know what? I struggled. Why did I struggle? Because they all are imperfect, just like the rest of us, right? That we all have our own dysfunctions. There are moments of greatness and there are moments of weakness in all of our lives. But God is not looking for that perfect family. God is not looking for that family that's already figured it all out. God is not looking for that family that has already arrived. Instead, God is looking for the family who is willing to follow, willing to take the journey with him, willing to strive to draw closer to him. You see, God isn't concerned about the process, or God is more concerned about the process than the product. In other words, as parents, as sons, as daughters, as siblings, as spouses, as co-workers, will we make the most of the opportunities that God has given us? Because the moments that you have been given are a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You only have this moment with your children. You only have this moment with your aging parents. You only have this moment with your siblings. So we want to make the most of the opportunities that we have been given. Now, recently I came across some research regarding personality development in children. And the article stated that personality traits observed in children as young as first graders are a strong predictor of adult behavior. And I found myself thinking, oh boy. So the way that our kids respond to the challenges they face now, the conflict, the anger, that's going to be an indicator for their future. And I read that and I thought, oh no, it's too late. I've already messed up my children, right? I've already poked and prodded and teased them and I've messed them up for life. Well, the reality is, maybe we haven't completely messed up our children yet, but it was convicting for me. And it was a sobering thought. It was strong enough that I immediately started to evaluate my own relationship with my kids and to rethink the approach that I was taking. And you know what? I began to see an immediate difference in the way, especially this young man over here, sitting by himself, is responding to me because of some changes that I've made. And I realized that maybe it's not too late. You see, each generation has its ups and downs. For me, I am right on the edge of the Generation Xers, all right? Technically, I am Generation Y. It's like this forgotten generation between Xers and Millennials that we don't really talk about, so yeah, that's me. But I find that I kind of can relate and identify with some of the things of the Generation Xers. And so depending on how they break down that year, sometimes I'm in there, sometimes I'm not. I can relate to the latchkey children, they were called. You see, I never really thought about how the experiences of one generation might shape the parenting of the next. But Generation Xers were given the nickname latchkey kids, or latchkey children, because why? Anybody know? Because that was the generation that often came home with the key to the house, they let themselves in, they cooked their own dinner, they were kind of left to fend for themselves, right? Because our parents were busy trying to make a living, they're trying to work their way through a recession, they're trying to provide to the best of their abilities for their kids, and so the Generation Xers were often kind of left on their own, and while their parents were short on time and money and trying to work their way through a recession. But today, Generation Xer parents seek to reclaim some of what was lost in their childhood. They long not just for quality time with their children, but quantity time as well, seeking to balance work life and family life. Generation Xer parents want to provide their children with the opportunities that they could not afford when they were younger. And so what do? We sign them up for multiple extracurricular activities and experiences. And Generation X parents want to ensure a better quality life for their family as well. When I read that, it clicked. No wonder we run around the way that we do. In fact, I was just talking to a man this weekend who was visiting his son and trying to help him get the house prepared and on the market. And do you know what his commentary was on his children's life, his grown children's life and grandchildren? He said they were what? They were busy, right? He said he couldn't keep up with them, all the different activities that they had to go, and he wondered how they would make it. And I thought, you know what? It's true. We were on from one activity to the next and the next. In fact, probably one of the biggest family feuds parents maybe in this community might face today is simply there is no time for that. There is no time for that. Okay, maybe I don't have that. I'm trying to do my own sermon notes as I go along. But it's not just Generation X parents. We all feel that time crunch, don't we? At home, at work, with friends, it can be a challenge to keep up with it all. In fact, it's impossible, no matter how hard we try, we are going to miss out. So how can we win as a family? How can we win in our relationships? Well, we win by making the most of the opportunities that God has given us. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. We know our lives are meant for something beyond this moment. But have you ever stopped to consider what is God's plan or purpose for your relationships? Have you ever considered God's plan or purpose for your children? Or for your friendships or your relationships at work or with your neighbors? You see, we make the most of the opportunities God has for us when we step into God's plan and purpose for our relationships. By stepping into God's plan and purpose for our relationships. And to help us consider this, author Tricia Goyer shares in her book, Generation Next Parenting, some ideas on how we can consider God's plan and purpose for our lives. She says, number one, think big. What is God's greater plan for humanity? Now, we know that God's heart is that we all would come to understand just how much God loves us and understand God's grace in our lives, right? That we would discover salvation and freedom for our sins. And so we want to consider what is God's overall big plan for humanity. Number two, she says, think high. Understand that God's ways are not our ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, the New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, my thoughts are completely different from yours, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We need to ask God to reveal his thoughts to us. And what better way to come to understand the heart of God than to spend time reading God's word, to get an idea of his heart and his passion for the world and for us. Third, she says we need to think in. As mentioned before, God is not so much concerned about the final product. God is at work in the process. God is more interested in that process. You see, methods will come and go, but who we are in Christ stands for eternity. What is God doing in your life right now? How is God growing you more to become more and more like Christ each and every day? Finally, she says, think prepared. You see, as Christians, we believe that when Jesus came, it wasn't just to usher in the kingdom of heaven in eternity, but it was to usher in the kingdom of heaven now. That God is at work here and now in this world, bringing about, building up his kingdom. So we want to think about how is God at work in the world now, and are we prepared to respond to what we see God doing? If we want to make the most of the opportunities God has given us, then we need to be intentional. We need to consider God's plan and purpose for our relationships. Because here's the deal that some of us need to hear today. Some of you are here and you simply need to accept the fact that you are not your parents. Maybe that's a relief, maybe that's, I don't know, maybe whether you have great parents or terrible parents, know that you are not your parents. That you need to figure out how to be you and how to parent as you. Second, there are some of us here today who need to hear this. We need to recognize that this is not our childhood, it is theirs. This isn't an opportunity to make up for all the things that you missed out as a kid or to relive your childhood, the childhood that you never had. This is their childhood. It is the childhood that God has for them. And the best thing we can do is help them discover God's plan and purpose for them and not simply to impress our own agenda. So to recognize this is God's moment, we need to make the most of the opportunities God has given us. Because if we don't, there simply won't be enough time for that. Life will pass us by. We will miss out. And so it's time to step up and to step into those moments that God gives. So here's what I want you to do today. Our action steps. First, I want you simply to make time this week for the relationships that matter most to you. It's a real simple assignment. Make time this week for the relationships that matter the most to you. You know, if you want to eat together as a family, play together, pray together, if you have that kind of deep relationship, share a moment that builds connections. Maybe it's time to pick up the phone and call that friend that you haven't talked to for a while. Make time this week for the relationships that matter most to you. Second, consider God's plan and purpose for your relationship. Consider God's plan and purpose for your relationship that you have with your children, with your parents, with your co-workers, with your neighbors. And invite God to re- into that space and see what he reveals to you. Third, and this is one that I kind of struggle with at times too, is forget about perfection and focus on the process. So many times I'm focused on the outcome behavior that I want to see. And I want to shortcut that process and enforce my will and say, you will clean your room, right? But I miss out on that process and that opportunity of how can I build my relationship with my children as we work towards the outcomes that we hope to reach. So recognizing that sometimes we need to forget about perfection and we need to focus on the process, the moment that we are in now. Don't be deceived by the lie that somewhere, someone is getting it right. Don't allow it to steal away your present moments, because you have been given a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You see, you can't live in the past. You can't live in the future, but the present is where we live now. So why not make the most of the opportunities and allow God to continue to refine you along the way? Let us pray. God, we invite you into this space and into this moment to continue your work in our lives. There have been so many times that we have been distracted, so many times that we have been chasing after a standard that we cannot achieve on our own. And so we take this moment today, Lord, to pause and to invite you into our lives, to invite you into our relationships. Reveal to us those areas that we need to work on. Continue to refine us, continue to reshape us. And help us to grow, to be more and more like you each and every day in all of our relationships. God, I pray that if there is anyone here who is struggling today, maybe they're feeling like they have messed up, that it's too late, that they've missed the opportunities. God, I pray that you would meet them with your grace, that you would meet them with your love and acceptance and forgiveness, and that you would remind them that you are with them on the journey. God, for our own family, those relationships that you've laid on our hearts and our minds, whether relationships with our kids, relationships with our parents or our siblings. God, if there's any relationship that needs to be redeemed, bring it to the forefront of our minds so that we can continue to live and share in your grace. God, we pray for the relationships that have been strong and what a blessing they have been. For the positive examples around us, may you give us the strength and courage to live the life that you have called us to, and to fulfill the plan and purpose that you have for our lives. We pray for all this day in the name of your Son. Amen.